This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hey, from the Extraordinary Young People file comes Logan Gibson, a Charlottesville native and student at Washington and Lee University, and she joins me live in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Coy.
Thank you so much for coming in. I know you're literally probably packing your things. You're leaving any day now to head back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, what year are you going to be?
Senior.
You're going to be a senior. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
There you go. You made it. You made it. That's wonderful. Do you have any idea? You're giving thought to where you'll be headed after next year?
I'm toying with some ideas, possibly grad school, possibly world traveling.
Sounds fun.
Leaning toward the latter.
That sounds fun. I wanted to have you in because your summer, how you spent your summer, I find so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it off the air, but I wanted you to share it with the listeners. Tell us first, in broad strokes, what you did this summer. Where were you?
Sure. I was 2 weeks in Tanzania first, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and then I headed over to Rwanda, where I spent the rest of the summer setting up a small library in a rural community there.
That's really great. Now, how did you find out even about the opportunity to go to Rwanda and help build a library?
Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was certain that I wanted to spend the summer in Rwanda because I have a relative who lives there. She just moved there, and she's building a secondary school in a community called Ramagana, Rwanda. And so,
in where? What, say that again?
It's called Ramagana, Rwanda. And a professor came to me from WNL, and as we both know, professors at WNL are pretty spectacular.
They are indeed. I think I married one. Yes, indeed.
And he said, there's this grant competition I think you should enter. And so I talked to my cousin. I said, what do you need help with at the school? And she said, you know, we don't have any books there. And so I said, okay, I can do something with that. And I put together a really rough proposal and had a lot of refinement from professors. And it got accepted, and I got $10,000 and headed over to
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell us about exactly where you were in Rwanda, this community. Was it sort of very country, for lack of a better word? Were you out in the sticks?
The thing about Rwanda is that if you're not in the capital city of Kigali, most of the country is very rural indeed. Ramagana, they just did a decentralization plan, and they're moving from one single capital. Actually, it was 12 prefectures to 5 major regions of Rwanda. So Ramagana is now the capital of the eastern region, and it's supposed to grow immensely in the next few years because it's just going to flourish.
And so you were there. What's it like day to day? I mean, I can recall when I was a student living in the Caribbean as an anthropology student, you know, you wash your clothes out of a 5-gallon bucket. Was it that kind of living?
It was. We were lucky enough to have running water. So we didn't have a shower, so baths were taken in basins with a cup pouring water over your head.
Yep.
But it was really neat. My grandfather's an organic farmer in New York, and so I knew a little bit about the slow food movement going into this. But my experience in Rwanda was very much organic and slow food. We would have milk delivered in the morning fresh from the cow, and we'd boil it to kill the bacteria and siphon off the cream and then, you know, drink it fresh like that. And it was such an extraordinary experience to be cooking. I mean, we made our own bread, we made our own everything, and it was really a really good growing experience.
Yeah,
for me.
A little house on the African prairie, it sounds like.
Exactly.
My goodness. So tell me, you spend your summer in Africa, and I love to hear people, you know, college students who, you know, weren't sitting by the pool this summer or weren't, you know, like any other college student interning in some law office, but actually out there making an incredible difference in the world. How is the library? Is it coming together?
Well, 3 days before I left to come back to America, 450 books arrived. It was the first shipment that had arrived.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if you've seen the movie Blood Diamond, but we use the phrase over there, TIA, this is Africa. But I shipped the books in April. It was supposed to take 6 weeks, and it took about 5 months. So, right now,
but at least they arrived. Thank goodness.
Exactly, yeah. And there's many more to come. Right now, we have a killer spreadsheet, and that's about it. But the library will get completed eventually.
And there is a facility. There's something under the roof for these books, right?
Not right now. They're in a shed. But they are building a library with the school that she's building this coming year. It's supposed to open in January.
Now, if there's somebody listening who is looking at some old books in the corner and thinks, you know, I'd like to send these to Africa, is there a way that they can get in touch with you and and sort of put them in the next shipment?
Yeah, certainly. I'm also the president of Books for Africa at my university, so I do a lot of shipping and big containers there. The library that we are building is very specific to, it's a program called expeditionary learning. So instead of the rote learning classrooms in much of Africa where kids just repeat what the teacher says, maybe don't understand it, it's a different approach, lots of research involved. And so these books are very specifically tailored to that need. But there's such a need for books over there. So
yeah,
if you have books lying around, of course, please try to get them over there.
We're talking with Logan Gibson, Charlottesville native and student at Washington and Lee University. And also, we should point out the daughter of Charlottesville's own Bob Gibson and Sarah McConnell of With Good Reason, heard on NPR stations across the Commonwealth. What are the people like?
Well, this was my sixth country I visited in Africa. So I had a little bit of a comparison I could hold them to. And at first, I was thinking, you know, very reserved. What I noticed particularly was that people would stare at me like I'd never been stared at before. It's a little disconcerting. But then once you meet them, they're so warm, so generous, so come into my household, I'll make you some African tea and I'll put a meal before you just because we met on the street, that sort of thing. So I think the country as a whole is just getting over the genocide piece by piece. They're still kind of apprehensive, but just wonderful people once you get to know them.
Well, that was my next question. Rwanda, of course, one of the worst genocides in mm-hmm. recent memory. Mm-hmm. Were you nervous at all about going to this part of the world? I mean, if my daughter told me she was going to Rwanda, I'd be like, wait a minute, can't you go to Ireland? I mean, haven't things calmed down now in Ireland? I don't know about Rwanda.
No, exactly. That's the impression I think many people here in America have. And I had the impression going into it, too. I didn't quite know what to expect. But there wasn't a single time while I was there that I ever felt I was in danger, besides stupid mistakes that I made, like getting on a motorcycle without a helmet or things like that. So it's actually a very, very peaceful presence. There's a big security presence in Rwanda. And the people feel very comforted by that. I was a little apprehensive of all the, you know, policemen with their guns around. But, I mean, it's very comforting force for the Rwandan people.
Yeah, yeah. Logan Gibson is my guest from this week's Extraordinary Young People file. Best memory, worst memory of your summer in Africa?
I think my best memory was, or funniest memory was, someone had invited me into their home and had given me the African tea and was just treating me royally and had put heaping plates of ibitochi, which is green bananas that taste kind of like potatoes, in front of me. So I was eating, and I actually wasn't very hungry, but they were keeping on loading up my plate. And I was trying to communicate the fact that I was actually full, thank you, but I'll have no more, you know. And so I said, oh, you know, if I eat one more bite, I'm going to have to take a nap. I was just trying to, like, get that point across. And the man looks at his wife and with this very confused expression, and then she nods. She goes into the back room and comes out with sheets and makes a bed for me. And so I, like, crawl into the bed. Everyone's just kind of watching me, and I, like, pretend to take a nap for a few minutes.
That's great. How about your worst memory?
Worst memory, or kind of powerful, like, reality shock memory, was my first day teaching. I was teaching a class there, an English class, and I had students ages 9 to 46, which was really incredible, all different levels. Some of them were pastors, some of them electricians, some of them just little kids, basically. And so I asked everyone to go around and introduce themselves, and the first person who stood up said, "Hi, my name is Jumapili," or whatever his name was. And he said, "This is who I am." And then what was really interesting, he said, "I have one mother and no father." And so we sort of set a precedent for the rest of the class, and there's 40 people in the class, to go around, and they all gave the status of their lost family members. I'm assuming from the genocide, it could have been from anything, but pretty much everyone in that class had a parent missing, had several sisters or brothers. And when it got to me, they said, "How many parents do you have?" And so my reality check was, oh my goodness, you know, to live without parents, and not only to live, but to be studying English to improve your life. And, you know, I mean, the country is really progressing, but what a shock and what a horror that happened.
My guest is Charlottesville native Logan Gibson, a student at Washington and Lee University. Tell us, you have to tell us about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in the time that we have left. It had to have been just a pivotal moment in your life to climb that mountain, which is over We looked it up before we went on the air. It's over 19,000 feet. So it's about, you know, roughly 10 times as high as the Blue Ridge Mountains here near Charlottesville.
Well, summiting Mount Kilimanjaro was the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's funny, we took the 8-day Mushami route, which is the longest route that you can actually take. You can do the mountain in 3 days if you're really serious about it. But one of the things to know is when you've climbed this mountain, you have to have porters, and there's a certain ratio of porters. So they're actually carrying your tent, they're carrying your belongings. And it's a bit of a moral dilemma, but it's also makes it a lot easier to climb.
And you're sort of required to hire them, right?
Yeah, you have to hire them.
Yeah.
So it does support the local economy and gives jobs and stuff. But I would say that for the first, you summit on the last day. So for the first 7 days, it was kind of like hiking the Appalachian Trail, the AT. You know, we were traipsing along. The altitude is certainly a problem, but it wasn't really, actually, we were all pretty much suffering from the altitude by the third day or so. But it wasn't until the last day that we summited that every ounce of my body wanted to turn around and head on back.
But you made it to the top.
I made it to the top. I don't know how. I think I blacked out. But
and you were telling me recently that you have to walk so slowly so that you don't go too quick, or you'll just you pass out from lack of oxygen, I guess.
Yes. There's not that much breathable air up there. And so you're literally walking heel to toe, trudging one step at a time up the mountain.
Logan Gibson, a Charlottesville native and a student at Washington Lee University. We didn't have enough time to get to it, but perhaps you can join me by phone from Lexington to talk about Mock Convention, which is coming up and gets national headlines. Mm-hmm. When is that? Because I know you're involved
with
that.
It's January 25th, and this is our centennial convention. So
it'll be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to it. You can be our Mock Convention reporter.
All right.
And give us an update. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.